Let us stand for the reading of God's Word. Romans chapter 1, starting verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was met. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacent, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for the word of God. We thank you for this book of Romans, Lord. We thank you, Father, for all the blessing, Lord, that we get out of these books, Lord, as we go through them and read them and preach through them and teach through them. Father, we know this is your infallible word, inerrant, God-breathed, given to us that we may know you. And Father, we ask your Holy Spirit to give us the understanding, the clarity in our minds to see and perceive these truths that we find here within the pages of Scripture. Father, we are in a very dark hour, but Father God, you still are upon the throne. And we give you all the glory and all the praise, and we worship you in spirit and in truth. And Father, we pray that we can hear the whole counsel of your word for your glory. And we just ask you now, Lord, to speak to us, give us understanding, give us clarity. And Father, we know that we love thee by an obedient heart and a faithful heart to serve you. Lord, we know that we have been called to serve Christ. And we ask you, Lord, that we will be found faithful at the end of our journey, that we may truly glorify your Son. Because, Father, our hope, our everything rests in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so now we commit this time into your hand. We ask you to speak to us. And we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we continue to move through this book of Romans, very interesting, the day that we find ourselves, we see ourselves in very much perilous times. You and I, as we read the Word of God, we see God's Word being fulfilled right before our eyes. We are thankful that we have a Bible to read, to understand, to have the understanding and the clarity of the Holy Spirit to give us the wisdom that we need to know the things that we find ourselves in the middle of even today. And as we read the book of Romans, we know this is one of the greatest works written for doctrinal purity. We know it's very important for us to understand the full counsel of the Word of God. Paul said very clearly that when he preached the full counsel. And I believe as we open up the Word of God, we all go line by line, precept upon precept. We do it for the glory of God because we want to be found faithful at the end of our own journey. And so as we come into this part here in the book of Romans, we realize we even live in a nation that has truly been abandoned by God. And so we have to look here, we have to understand. We have to understand that the righteous is always going to suffer persecution. We have to understand that we are the light of the reflected glory of Jesus Christ in a very dark and fallen world. We have to understand that we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption, and we are truly ambassadors and ministers of reconciliation for the glory of God. God has birthed us into his kingdom in such a time as this. He has placed us here for his own glory and his own purpose and his own pleasure. And when we look at the verses that we find ourselves in, we realize that we are living in a nation that is collapsing in every direction. But we realize that God has a remnant, and God is the keeper of his remnant. God is the one that sustains us and carries us through day to day. And when you and I look at the Word of God, we know that God has given us this Word, that we can know him more intimately and more personally. We know the Holy Spirit is the one who is our teacher. He gives us understanding and clarity into the Word of God. God says that if we love him, that we want to be obedient and we want to do what he tells us to do. We want to be faithful stewards of the Word of God. We don't want to be just a hearer of the Word of God. We want to be a doer of the Word of God. And if we say that we love God, then we keep his commandments and are not grievous unto us, and we give God all the glory. Because we know God is the one that has birthed us into the kingdom of God. He has placed us into the body of Christ. And one day we're going to come before that throne that we find there in Revelation 4 and 5. And we're going to be part of that 24 elders. And we're going to be part of that church that's worshiping before Him. And we're going to glorify Him in everything. Because God has given us everything we need to live a life for His glory, honor, and pleasure. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God. And this is the two-edged sword. We need nothing more. And as we study and show ourselves truly to glorify Him in everything in our lives, we give Him all the glory. But yet as we look here, we find ourselves in a very interesting book of the Bible, especially when you come into Romans 1. And as we look at Romans 1, we realize we kind of touched on it a little bit the last time, but I want to back up into verse 21, and we're just going to come through here a little bit and come back to a better understanding. The Bible says in verse 21, because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They became vain in their imaginations. We've said today we live in a world where many people have become vain in their imaginations. We see the Word of God playing out before us very clearly. We see all the things of the Word of God speaking to us. We know that God has spoken this a long time ago, and yet we find ourselves in the same situation. And I want you to just think about that when you think about you and I that had the opportunity to know who God is. That we worship Him in spirit and truth, and that we have truly been given a desire in our heart to follow the things of God, to read His Word, to study, to meditate upon it, to show ourselves approved unto God, as the Bible says. We know that we have that two-edged sword, and God has given it to us that we may truly glorify Him, and we can sharpen that edge both ways, because we can put it this way and we can put it this way. The Word of God cuts our heart as much as it cuts anyone's heart, because the Bible is very clear that God has said for us to be holy, for I am holy. God has told us to be perfect because our Heavenly Father who is in heaven is perfect. We see many scripture verses that deal with that. We know that God is not impartial whatsoever. We see that in the Word of God. But as we look at these scriptures here, the Bible says here, talking about the unredeemed world, He says very clearly, because that which they knew God, remember God has written it upon the conscience and the heart of every man that there is a God. Remember the Bible says only a fool says in their heart there is no God. So when we think about one that says, well, I'm an atheist, I know that's absolutely impossible for anyone to be an atheist, because God has written these laws upon every heart that's ever been born and created in this world. The Imago Dei, the image of God, for He is the... We are image bearers of God. And you and I that have been born again, we have the Holy Spirit that has sealed us until the day of redemption for His own purpose and for His own glory. And I don't know about you, but if we live in such a dark day, we are thankful that God is with us. Amen? I mean, God says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. God says, I have sealed you with my Holy Spirit till the day of redemption. In other words, never to be thrown out from Him, for He has brought us into the kingdom of God for one purpose, for us to glorify Him in everything He does. When we think about a lost and dying world, we realize there are many people that need to come to an understanding of who Christ is. God has given us the Bible for us to be soul winners. The Bible says that him that winneth souls is wise. And the Bible says there in James 1:5 that if we need wisdom, we ask of Him, for He is the one that giveth that wisdom. And that wisdom that cometh down is peaceful, easy to be entreated, the Bible says. And that's what the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And even today, when we look at scriptures like this, we realize there are many out there today that are blind in their heart, blind in their eyes. They can't see the Christ whom we have been shown by God Himself. And you and I that have seen the Christ, we are ministers of reconciliation. Remember, we are the reflected glory of Jesus Christ. We are absolutely ambassadors for the glory of God. We are doing it for His glory and His purpose. That means that you and I live our life not for our own glory, but for His glory. Every heartbeat that we have, we know it's been given to us by God, the Creator, the one that has truly placed His Holy Spirit and has sealed us until the day of redemption. And that's why you and I have to be very careful with sin, because the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you've been sealed until the day of redemption. And so as we look here, what do we find? Well, we have a group of people here. Not that God did not reveal Himself to them. He wrote it upon the tables of their heart. You can take children and you can realize, you can see the sin nature. You can see the selfishness of a little child. You can see it because God has written it in their heart. And many times they know it's wrong to steal, wrong to do this, wrong to do that. Why? Because God has written it in their heart that they may know these things. Then you and I, we understand that because God has birthed us into the kingdom of God. We have been regenerated. We have been born again. Where the Bible says that we have been justified. I mean, that was a work of God, justified by faith. And we know that faith is not of ourselves. It's faith that's been given to us for the glory of God. For by grace are we saved through faith. Not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. And so when you look at the scripture here, we realize the Bible says there in verse 22, remember, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. We have many in academia that are professing themselves to be wise, but they have become fools. They speak contrary to the word of God. They blaspheme the very name whereby you and I have been called. Remember when you back up into verse 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among the nations for his name. And so when we look here, what do we find? We have these unbelievers professing themselves to be what? Well, to be wise. You have many people in academia that say, well, we are very wise. We have a great understanding, but your wisdom is humanism. It's satanic in origin. But the Bible makes it very clear that these that profess them to be wise, they are fools. And what is the purpose of that? Look what Paul says, verse 23, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made to corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts, and to creeping things. Now that's a very interesting thought, because we have many people that will worship the creature more than the creator. And yet the Bible is very clear when we look here that God is the one that has truly opened our eyes to behold the Creator. That's like you and I when we pray. We're not just praying to some invisible force. We're praying to the God of all creation. We're praying to the omnipresence of God that is right here within our midst. That's what the Bible says. We know that God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. We know that everything God does has a purpose. We know that we can pillow our head on the sovereignty of God for his own glory. Why do we know that? Because we read it in the Bible and God never lies. Every man is a liar, but God never lies. And so we know that when we read it in Scripture, this is what God has said. This is not just a mere man that has said these things, but this is God himself that has said these things. And so he says here, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God. I mean, I don't know about you, but God's uncorruptible. Understand that? I mean, God is a holy God. How do we know that? Well, if you really want to know who God is, we go back to Isaiah and we read chapter 40 to 48. God identifies himself very clearly who he is and who he's not. And man says, well, I want to make creatures in wood and all these things and worship them as idols. Listen to me, we have to be very careful with idol worship. Amen? I mean, the Bible makes it very clear that we're not to have idols. We're to worship the true God. And so when we look here, God makes it very clear and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. But you and I that know the God, we know that we want to worship him in spirit and truth. We know that we have been regenerated, born again. We have been brought unto life. God is the one that has transported us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. How do we know that? Because that's what the Bible says. Amen? I mean, you and I know that we have been forgiven of our sins because Jesus Christ went to that cross, died that death, shed that blood, and rose again the third day for my justification. Because that's what the Bible says. But here you have a group of people that are professing themselves to be wise. They have changed the glory of God into some corruptible thing, and you and I know that God cannot be corrupted by man. God cannot be corrupted by his own creation. And so we come to this first part here in 24, because we understand that verse 24 has an interesting thought. It uses this word, gave them up. Gave them up. You're going to see three times here in these verses that God says, I gave them up. And we can realize that this is definitely the abandonment of God, even to our own country and our own nation. But we have to say, God, what do you say about this? How do you show me these things that are written in the Word of God? And we're going to see it. Look what it says here. Wherefore, remember the word wherefore, therefore, everything previous? Wherefore, he says here very clearly, wherefore God. Now I want you to think about this just for a minute. Wherefore God also gave them up. Now, then, we're talking about these unbelievers. You can back it up in here. And the truth of it is, at one time before we were ever born again, God had done the same because we were born with a sinful heart. Amen? I mean, we were not born righteous, that's for sure. We weren't born in the idea that we'd be saved. But in one sense, we were born. God knew one day he'd regenerate our heart and we would be born again. And we are thankful to God for that. But look what he says here. And God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. But give up. Look what he says here. Verse 24, it says, wherefore God also gave them up. Verse 24 talks about a sexual revolution. Steps to the abandonment of God, abandonment of a nation. We know that sexual revolution has already come through this country. It's plugged it in every direction. We had all kinds of things that were happening in that way, that sexual revolution. We still have it all around us, and today everything's pretty much condoned. Even though God says, listen to me, I am God, I never change. I am God, because that's what the Bible says, for I am God. And when we look at the scripture, the Bible says there in Hebrews, for Jesus Christ is what? The same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed either. How do I know that? Because he's the eternal Son. He's the second person of the Trinity. We have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To God be the glory. This is the eternal counsel. Amen. And so when we look here, what do we find? He says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. They said, listen to me, I know what God says, but I don't care what God says. I'm going to do what I want to do. Matter of fact, I'm the captain of my own soul. I can direct my ship anywhere I choose. But is that really true? Can a man say to the Creator, I don't have to listen to you anymore? But man does, because they have a rebellious heart. They're set against the things that God has spoken. God never changes his mind. God never changes the way he's going to do things. God hasn't changed from the beginning till now. You don't have a God of the Old Testament and a God of the New Testament. You have an eternal God before the creation of the world. Amen? I mean, that's what the Bible says. He says what? He is a God that inhabiteth what? Eternity. How do we know that? Because that's what your Bibles say. And so when we look here, he says, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And look what he says here in verse 25. God gave them up in verse 24. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God. I mean, this is exactly what we find today. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. This is what the Bible says. Hear what he has to say. The Bible makes it very clear. These who have dishonored themselves, these who have rebelled against God in a sexual revolution that we find here, what does he say? Who changed the truth of God into a lie. You and I say, listen to me, God has spoken. Oh, I don't believe God speaks that way anymore. I believe we have a God of grace in the New Testament and a God of wrath in the Old Testament. My answer is, you don't know who God is. Because this God is an eternal God. Remember we say, well, we're monotheists. What do I mean by that? We believe there's only one God, Yahweh. There is not many gods, Yahweh. Why is that? Because we are monotheists. And remember, there are many people that are monotheists that are in hell today. Because you need to know who the true God is. Because there's only one, and it's Yahweh, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Look what he says, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Man says, listen to me, I don't have to listen to you. I can change this truth any way I want. I can make God's word say whatever I want to say. I can say, listen, I don't believe that verse says this or that verse says that. I believe I can change that and make that any way I want it to. Absolutely. It's called eisegesis. You interpret the scripture in the mind of your own self instead of in the mind of God, which is an exegesis. And we understand that. But look what he says here. He says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature? I mean, we've already seen that. And what does he say? More than the creator? I mean, I don't know about you, but would you want to worship the creature more than the creator? And what does the Bible say there? He says, who is blessed forever? Amen. So where do we find ourselves? We look around today, and what does the Bible say when you come back into verse 26? For this cause, God. See, everything focuses on God. It is important for you to know who God is. The doctrine of God is one of the most important doctrines there is. That is where everything hinges, that doctrine of God. People say, how should I study the doctrine of God? You need to know who God is. You need to know who God is as he's revealed in the Word of God. Not a God that you have made up in your box, as some would say. Well, this is my God box. And you and I that talk to people quite often, what do they say? Well, I don't believe in a God that does that. But yet the Bible says that he did that. What do you mean you don't believe in a God that did that? Then you don't know the true God. Because God's revelation of himself is right here in the pages of Scripture. We don't need an extra biblical revelation. We have the Word of God. We have the truth right here in the confines of 66 books of the Bible. How do we know that? We have a closed canon. We have the canonicity and the unity of the Scripture. How do we know that? Because the Holy Spirit confirms it in our heart. Remember, the Bible says, how do I know that I'm saved? Well, the Holy Spirit bears witness of us that we are the children of God. That's Romans 8:16. But when you look here, what do you find? He says, for this cause, verse 26, God gave them up. Look what he says. God gave them up. again. That is very important here in this first chapter. Now look what he says here. For this cause, God gave them up into vile affections. So we have a sexual revolution, and then followed by what? A homosexual revolution. So what does the Bible say? How can I confirm that? For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. The Bible makes it very clear. That's a vile affection. We have the revolution before us. We know that. Many of us are affected, even within our families. We understand this concept. We're not free because we're in a small little community and we're not in the city. Well, the truth of it is, it's here as much as anywhere. And you and I are the light here. And you and I are to speak the truth here and for the glory of God. And so what does the Bible say? For this cause, God gave them up into vile affections. For even though women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And we are in this revolution. We understand that. And this is the second God gave them up. That's important, because look what he says here. And likewise, first he addresses the women, likewise, verse 27, also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was met. Do you really believe that God is going to absolutely bypass these things and wink at these things when God has said in his word very clearly? But I know that they can repent and believe upon Christ, because as liberating as that is, to God be the glory. We have seen it. We have seen the power of God move upon a heart and change their life forever, like you and I. We're thankful for that. Amen? I mean, we're thankful that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. We understand that because that's what your Bibles say. And so when we look here, what do we find? Well, we have first the sexual revolution, followed by the homosexual revolution. We are here. There's no doubt about it. And then what do we find here? He says very clearly, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Now, I want you to know, they're speaking from their heart. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. You and I mean, we want all men to come to Christ and be saved. Amen? I mean, we witness and we glorify God. We want God to save their souls and bring them unto truth. But they would see this Christ that you and I have been shown, that God would do a work of regeneration in their heart and change their life forever. We love them. We want them to see the Christ. We know the hope that they have is the Christ. So what do? We speak the truth. We do it in love. And we do it for the glory and pleasure of God. Why is that? Because you and I have been redeemed. You and I have been bought by the blood of Christ. You and I have been given the Great Commission. What have we been told to do? Go out and teach all people, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Why? For the glory of God. Because God has said, church, I want you to go out there and be busy and occupied till I come. And don't worry, I'm coming. There's going to be a day the Father's going to say to the Son, go get your bride. And what a day that will be, amen? And so when you look here, where do we find ourselves? Well, God gave them up unto vile affections. So when you come down here to verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, I mean, it's very interesting because we see this played out before us. But I want you to think about that. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, because man says, I have no need of God. I mean, let's face it, people don't go to church anymore. Matter of fact, you and I that talk to people quite often, you can talk to kids, you know, used to be the idea where as long as your kids go to church, they'll be good, that'll be good enough, even though the parents didn't come. Today, the kids don't even go to church, and when you talk to kids, young kids, they've never heard of Noah, they've never heard of creation, they've never heard any of the Bible stories that you and I grew up with, they have never heard any of this. And what a sad day. Because this God that never lies has given us a book that we can know him. It's important. If you don't have a heart for souls, you need to ask God to give you a heart for souls. That's what it's about. We're supposed to be soul winners. I mean, the Bible does say, blessed is he that winneth souls, for he's wise. I mean, that's what your scripture says. So look what he says here. We come into verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. I mean, we have a whole society today that does not like to retain God in their knowledge. I mean, we have a whole society that don't care that God is holy. They don't care what the Bible says. They don't care who Christ is. doesn't matter to them. They're the captain of their own fate. But is it true? Or maybe they'll say, listen to me, when I die, I'm buried in a hole 6 feet under, and that's the end. I believe in annihilation. I must say that's very foolish, because the Bible makes it very clear that everyone will resurrect. There will be a bodily resurrection of the just and the unjust. How do I know that? Because that's what the Bible says. And so what do we find ourselves here? He says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over. That's the third time. It's the final time. It's the abandonment of God upon a nation. Where do we find ourselves? Insanity. Insanity. We see all the things that are happening before our eyes, and you and I 20 years ago would have said, this could never happen in America. And here we are, with full-blown insanity. Where we have to identify things somehow apart from what God has already said, as if it changes anything. But when you think about this abandonment, this is to the point where the mind cannot function within its own reason. And so when you and I read the Word of God, I want you to think about this, because we live in this day of insanity. The things that are happening all over the world are just insane. And they're trying to make it like normal. It's just normal to be insane. Well, I want you to think about this with me for a minute. We're going to jump over to Isaiah, and I want you to show you an Old Testament illustration here of the same thing that we find here in Romans 1. We're going to be in Isaiah 5. We're going to kick off here at verse 18. I want you to look at the scripture here and see how it lines up with what God done to Israel. When you come into Isaiah 5, verse 18, God speaking. Look what he says. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity. Now I want you to think about our present day that we have today. I want you to realize that the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. I want you to realize that. And so when you look here, it says, and sin as it were with a cart rope. They say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. They blaspheme the very name whereby you and I have been called. They laugh and they make mockery of his children. And the truth of it is, no different than we find here in Israel a long time ago, prior to this Romans 1. And what do we find here? Verse 20, look at the woes of the Old Testament. What does he say? Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. We find ourselves in the same boat. We call evil good and good evil. No different than it is today. Romans 1, right here before us. 2021, we find it. Right here in Isaiah. Let's go back 800 years. Right here we find it in the Old Testament. What do we find here? Look what he says here. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's what we find today. Because all the good is evil and the evil is good. The Bible says that would come to be. The Bible says that things are going to wax worse and worse. How do I know that? The Bible says so. The Bible says that we're going to be in perilous times. We are in perilous times if you're truly a born-again Christian, you love Christ with all your heart, and you want to be an ambassador and a minister of reconciliation, and you have a voice to proclaim liberty unto the captives. Rest assured, you won't have many friends, but you will glorify God with your life, because you know that every heartbeat that you have has been given to you by God. So when you look in verse 21, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes. My goodness, this is Romans 1 playing out right before us. They profess themselves to be wise and they're fools. We find it here in the Old Testament, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. No different than we find here. What's he say again? Verse 22. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink, and men of strength, and mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. No different than we find here in Romans 1. So what does he say? Therefore, and I want you to think about this, because what we're leading up to in Isaiah 5 is, Isaiah, Great Commission and the ministry that he's going to do. And you and I that have read through this book of Isaiah, we have 39 chapters of judgment. 39 chapters of judgment. And then 27 chapters of the Messiah. And we understand that because we've gone through that. But look what he says here. Which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteous of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despise the word of the Holy One of Israel. We find this in America today. We find this in America today. The greatest nation in the world, as far as I'm concerned, no doubt. But we find this where they take God's word and say, we don't need God anymore. We have our own ideas, our own plans. We will do what we want. And they are definitely doing what they want. But God is not sleeping. God is awake because our nation is under judgment. Let me prove it. Look, let's keep going here. Verse 25. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people. Remember, this is Israel going into severe judgment. Severe judgment. Israel has rebelled against the Holy One. Romans 1, man has rebelled against the Holy One. But don't worry, God will wink at us. He'll let us off because he's a God of love and grace. God don't pick on us. This is God's chosen apple here. This is Israel. I want you to realize that. This is Israel. This is the Israel of God, like the Bible says. Now look what he says. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, Israel. And he has stretched forth his hand against them and has smitten them. And the hills did they tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out. This is God stretching his hand out against Israel, his people. Now when you drop down to verse 30, and I'm going to jump through here a little bit, remember what he says, in that day they shall roar against them like the roaring of a sea, and if one look upon the land, behold darkness and sorrow, and the light is darkened in the heavens thereof. Who did this? God. Now I want you to draw your attention to Isaiah 6. I want to start at verse 5. I want you to see some similarities here. I want you to know that God is not asleep. You think God is not on his throne reigning from above and seeing what man and wicked men are doing in high levels of power today? Do you think God is sitting up there and saying, oh no, what am I going to do? Do you think God believes in open theism, or God just trying to figure things out? No, God knows what's happening today. God knows what's happening here in Israel. And I want you to see, God's not sleeping. God is very much awake, very much involved, because we have Israel, the Israel of God, God's chosen people that we find recorded back in Genesis 11, Genesis 12, all the promises given to Abraham. Look what he says. You come into Isaiah 6, you have Isaiah's commission. This is Isaiah's commission. And usually we go into those first four, but I want to jump here. Verse 5. What does he say? Then said I, who's the Isaiah? Isaiah. Woe is me. Something about being in the presence of a holy God that makes a man say, woe is me. And that's you and I also. Woe. Woe. Look what he says. Then said, woe is me. I am undone. Because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, Israel. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. The first thing you realize with Isaiah, he realized the wickedness and the sinfulness of his own heart. He sees himself the way God sees him. Did he figure it out, or did God come upon him? God has come upon Isaiah. Look what he says. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he, the seraphim, had taken with the tongs from the altar. That holy seraphim couldn't take that coal off of that holy altar. That seraphim had to use tongs to pull that holy coal. A sinless angel had to use tongs to pull that coal off of that fire. And he, the seraphim, laid it upon my mouth. Look what he says. And said, lo, this has touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. That's what happened when you were born again. Do you understand that? Do you understand that when we look at that great doctrine of justification, what does that mean? God declared me righteous.
Hallelujah.
So look what we find here. He says, again, verse 8, and also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The counsel before the creation of the world. Perfect fellowship within the Godhead. Never needed nothing. Because God is a great word the Puritans use, a deity, which means God is independent from everything. If anybody is autonomous, if anybody is completely independent, it's God. How do we know that? Because the Bible says so, amen? So look what he says here. Also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. That's a regenerated heart. That's a heart that's been born again that says, here am I, send me, Lord. Oh, Isaiah, do you realize what you are getting yourself into? Isaiah, do you realize all the work you're going to do? Isaiah, do you realize that your ministry is going to be unproductive in a sense? You're not going to have numbers of people repenting. But what does the Lord say to Isaiah? That is a heart that has been prepared by God for a mission that you and I have here before us. 66 chapters of the book of Isaiah, one of the greatest prophets there ever was, and all of them are great. But reading Isaiah, we come into those messianic promises, and we are thankful for the book of Isaiah. We are thankful to God that God did this and actually put it in a book that we could read it and understand it. And what does the Bible say? And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of the people fat, and make their ears heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. That's talking about spiritual regeneration.
Amen.
Being born again. So what does he say? Look at the question Isaiah poses to God. Then said, I, Lord, how long? If you and I were Isaiah, we'd be saying, Lord, how long is this judgment going to be upon your Israel? Then said I, the Lord, how long? And he answered. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that when you look in the Word of God, look at the book of Job, it always says, and God answered. And he's going to answer Isaiah. And he's answering what he's saying in Romans 1. Look what he says. And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant. Wasted without inhabitant. Now this is God speaking. This is God who never lies. But God is not a God of judgment. God is not a God of wrath. Israel here has figured out that he really is. He is a God of love, and a God of mercy, and a God of grace. But do you think he will sit back and let man defile things that are holy before his eyes without judgment? When he is a holy, holy, holy God that we find here in Isaiah 6, that we found back in Revelation 4, where we have the beasts and the four beasts standing before God and saying, holy, holy, holy. We have the seraphims here, holy, 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 the Lord of hosts. I mean, look what he says here. He says very clearly, he goes, first he says, here am I, send me. And then he says, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord hath removed men far away, and there shall be a great forsaking in the midst, what's he say? In the midst of the land. A great forsaking. You know, one of the greatest deals that you find is where people have no regard for the Word of God. Do you realize that's judgment? We have it today, the highest levels of leadership, an abandonment of God. And Israel here has rebelled and abandoned Jehovah. Look what he says here. He says again, but, this is, I don't know about you, but like Martin Lloyd-Jones says, the buts in the Bible are wonderful. But God. Look what he says here. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak, whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves. So the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. God has a remnant in America that will not bow to Baal.
Hallelujah. Amen.
I don't know about you, but to God be the glory. Amen.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know about you, but praise God. There is a holy remnant. These are the ones that have been born again by God, that have been saved and truly born again. I mean, today is very clearly, everything counts today. You and I have to be a faithful witness for the glory of God. We can see Isaiah and we can see judgment, judgment, judgment. How long? Till it's destroyed utterly. Don't you believe that when you look at Isaiah 5, when you look at Isaiah 6, when God brings down these judgments upon Israel, do you think that the Gentile nations will be different and God will look upon them differently? Or will God have a remnant? He will keep them safe and they will be persecuted. They may be murdered for the cause of Christ, but they will stand true to God's word because God has a remnant in America that will not bow to Baal. And that's what your Bibles say. That's just not my eisegesis. We see it all the time. I mean, when you look at Romans 1, I mean, I don't know about you, but to God be the glory. I mean, what do we find here? We find God speaking here, and we can see it in the Word of God. So what does he say about these people that have rebelled against him today? Developing things that are absolutely 100% insane. Contrary to God. Abominations to God. So we don't want to use the word abominations. It's very offensive. Listen to me. If God had said abomination, it's abomination. How do we know that? Because God said so. Look what he says. Verse 29. Being filled. Look at that word filled. Same word that the Bible says for you and I, the remnant of God, to be filled with the Spirit. The Ephesians 5:18, right? Be filled with the Spirit. not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, be controlled by the Spirit, be following the Spirit of God through the Word of God. Look what he says. But these here are contrary to this. These are the devil's children, being filled with all unrighteousness. The fornication, the wickedness, the covetousness, the maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. Who are these? I see them on the news every day. I read articles of the most wicked things that are happening today in every direction. I wonder, is God still on the throne? Yes, but God has let judgment come upon our nation. God is letting that judgment come upon us because they have rebelled against God. They have thrown him out, thrown his people out, taken his book out. They don't want nothing to do with God. They feel they can run their own show. They feel that they can go ahead and do whatever they want, and man will just have to submit unto them. I therefore submit unto God and unto God. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. I'd rather draw nigh to a God that has never lied to me a day in my life. A God that I can read his word and say, God's word is holy and true, to God be the glory. And we see all these men, they're wicked, they're evil, they're full of all these things. Look what the Bible says. Remember the word filled, being filled. It lays them out for us. Verse 30, backbiters. Boy, they're all around us. Haters of God, they're everywhere. Haters of God, the Bible says, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. They're filled with these evils. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacit, unmerciful. And such were some of you. And such were some of you. But God! See, well, that's the testimony. God changed my life. I was no different than them. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. That's what my Bible says. But God! But when we look here, we see all this, and we wonder to ourselves, what can we do, God? What can we do? What can we do? You be a testimony for the glory of God. You have your speech seasoned with salt and ready to answer every man with grace in your heart and show them the love that God has shown you through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what we do. Why? Because we are ministers of reconciliation. We are soul winners. We are ambassadors. We're not ashamed of the gospel, but it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, also to the Gentile. That's what your Bibles say. Then we like that verse 17, where therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Faith? Is that what we do? We have faith? Well, my faith is in the person, the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, the bishop of our souls, the resurrected Christ who sits at the right hand of God, equal with the Father, the eternal Son, the incarnation of Yahweh himself. Praise God. And God is not sitting in heaven shaking on his throne because of how wicked men are. Because God said, men will wax worse and worse. But there is a day coming for everyone. It's called the judgment seat. And I'd much rather stand before Jesus Christ as one of his redeemed children then stand before him at the great white throne judgment and be judged and damned for every thought, word, and deed I ever done. A God that knows everything, a God that's omnipresent, a God that's seen everything I've ever done, the wickedness of my own heart, the evil of my heart, the wicked sin that I was involved in. And this holy God justified me because he loved me before the foundation of the world. Wow. Am I afraid? Am I ashamed of him? Are you kidding me? I'm not going to live forever. I'm going to die like everybody else. But I want to be ready. Because the Bible says that we can glorify God even in death. Because that's what your Bibles say. And so when you look here, verse 32, look at our word here. Who? Knowing. You think these people are ignorant that they're going to stand before this holy God? Absolutely not. Only fool says in their heart there is no God. Who knowing the judgment of God. That's a powerful statement. Knowing. They don't kind of know. They know what they're doing. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they, back up here, 28, 29, 30, 31, they which commit such things are worthy of death. Why do men die? Sin. A holy God that says he will judge every sin? Will your sin be judged in you or in Christ? What a Savior. My answer is Christ. Why? He is my penal substitutionary atonement. Like them big words? But you go to Bible college today, they don't even talk about penal substitutionary atonement anymore. Many pastors, they don't talk about it either anymore. It's the Bible. Amen. And since it's the Bible, I always talk about it. Not afraid of it. To God be the glory. I like imputed righteousness. Remember what Luther said? He says, it's an alien righteousness. That righteousness I have is not my own. It is Christ's righteousness imputed to me, which God can see me as a saint. Thank you, Jesus. And you know the word saint means a holy one. But not because of me, but because of him who loved me before the foundation of the world. That's what your Bible say. And so when you look here, he says, who knoweth the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, and not only do the same, but I have but have pleasure in them that do them. Do we speak out against these abominations? We do it for the glory of God. We don't do it because we're prideful, because we're arrogant, because we think we know everything. We do it because of a love to the Savior. We want men and women to see the Christ that God has shown us. And we say, to God be the glory. Whatsoever we do what? To the glory of God. Would you be like Moses and say, show me your glory? Think about Isaiah and his very productive ministry. 39 chapters of judgment. He was not a well-liked man in Israel. Matter of fact, he was sawn asunder. I know what we can do. We're going to kill the prophet and silence his voice. Don't worry, God will raise up another one. Adrian Rogers said very clearly, the problem with preachers today is no one wants to kill them anymore. We have to stand for the truth of the Word of God. And in the darkest hour that we find ourselves, we cannot compromise. We cannot bow to Baal. And when you stand for truth, it's going to hurt you. You're going to get hurt. But you know what? Like Spurgeon said, we pillow our head on the sovereignty of God. For God has already blazed my path and I have to follow him. Jesus made it very clear in Hebrews 2. He has blazed the path, the captain of our soul. And what did Jesus say? Very simply, he said, follow me. Remember what Paul said? Follow me as I follow Christ. And when we look at the Word of God here, we see the hour that we're in. You have to know His Word. You have to know His Word. You have to know His Word. You need to read His Word. Get the understanding of God. And God will give you clarity, give you understanding, and God will give you boldness in the darkest hour of our lives. We say, well, I'm not in a dark hour today. I know. But you will be. Even child of God. Remember the Bible said there at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. We would like to say, I wish the rain would only fall on the unjust, not the just. But the just shall live by faith. And that faith is in the person of Christ. And that faith is loving Jesus. Because remember the Bible says in Romans 5:5, for God has shed the love of God in your heart by the Holy Ghost that has been given unto you. Amen. How can we be bold? Is it because we're smart, because we're educated, because we have a college degree? Absolutely not. We are bold in Christ because we know God never lies. God's given to us a book. And you and I, we read this book because we know God said there's one weapon I'm going to give you. It's a sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. That's it. It's all you need. And you stand for righteousness, for the glory of God. And whatever the hour may come, and we know it's dark, much reading will make anyone mad. But when you see the darkness of the day, you should see the brilliance of the Christ shining out of the darkness. When Christ came into the world, He said, I am the light of the world. And He hasn't changed. And you and I that have been born again, Colossians, we've been delivered from the power of darkness to the kingdom of light. Who did that? God did it. To God be the glory. One life to live, and surely this life will pass. What you do for the Lord will only be counted at our judgment seat. And I'm afraid that when we come to that judgment seat, that we will wish that we've done so much more for Christ. And in closing, I want you to realize, when you look at the judgment that you find there in Isaiah 5 and 6, I also want you to realize that if you back up into Isaiah 1:18, God also spoke this to them, to Israel. Start at verse 16, Isaiah 1. Wash ye, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. And what is verse 18? This verse, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow, and though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Thank you, you know what that is? That's grace. Thank you, know what He says to us today in 2021? Repentance towards God, faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 20:21. Follow Christ. He'll never let you down. He's an amazing Savior. Amen. This word is so powerful. That's why we're not afraid of man. It's not because we're tough and whatever. Are you kidding me? We're not afraid of man because God says you don't need to be afraid of man. You need to be afraid of me. Fear him that can kill the body and damn the soul. Not just him that can kill the body. That's the one you fear. Because that's what your Bibles say. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I mean, think about those things. I mean, there's a lot of verses here, but so much truth. It's just simply amazing. So much truth we see in Isaiah. We see it lined up parallel with Romans 1. We see it. Because the God of the old is the God of the new. Is the God of 2021. He's the God of 2022. He is our God. He is our Savior. Just like Doubting Thomas said, my God, my Lord, my Savior. That's who he is to us. And to God be the glory forever and ever.